Hey, hi, hello. Ooh, y'all remember we used to say that in high school or in middle school and stuff? I'm kind of telling my age now, of course, but we used to start letter conversations that way. Oh man, it's old school. Tragic. Anyway, how are y'all? Of course, I'm Eric with the IKG, and I thank you so much for listening in. And as always, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to be here with me, and I fully, truly appreciate that. Now, if it sounds like I'm a little bit under the weather, that's because I am. It came on a couple days ago, but now it's truly starting to kind of show its ass a little bit. Don't worry, though. It's not the vid or anything like that. It's just a slight cold. I typically get those twice a year now, and this is my second time having one, actually. Colds are really random, actually, y'all, because they just are. And I'm a baby when it comes to being sick, so don't judge me or anything like that. But it's all good because I'm on the back end of the cold now, and I'm staying hydrated, and I'm doing my best not to eat a whole bunch of junk food, although cereal is still my weakness. Y'all, there's a new kind of Lucky Charms called, I think, Lucky Charms Clusters. Oh, divine. You got to try it. Nonetheless, the show must go on, and I am here to deliver part two of Momentous 2021. Now, this one is with my good friend Angie Mitchell from the Sincerely Angie podcast. And as with the previous episode that I did with Janu Alicia, this one is supposed to be only 15 to 20 minutes. But as I always say, it's a celebration when you link up. So, yep, this one ended up lasting probably about it's actually over an hour. So, but I couldn't remove anything out of it because it was just such a really, really, really great conversation. And again, as with the previous one, there were a lot of gems and a lot of nuggets dropped into it. So her Momentos 2021 was a single word. It was perspective. And that was her word of the year. And we talk a little bit about word of the day, word of the year. This is something that I used to do, or that I still do every once in a while, or every day, actually. But we talked about that. We talked about how it relates to finances also. And that's one of our favorite topics, because every time we get together, we always talk about money and money management and, you know, just financial freedom and how perspective can evolve whenever you evolve as well in regards to finances. So y'all, this episode came right on time. So you can actually utilize the knowledge of what the podcast is talking about for the next year and beyond. It's just not for next year, but you know, 2022 is fast approaching and we want to be able to start it off on the right foot. And what better way to do that than to start to display financial literacy and just portray financial literacy and gain knowledge from that. But don't take my word for it. Enjoy part two of Momentos 2021 with my really good friend, Angie Mitchell.
Ready to go. Okay, countdown.
Come through, come down.
Okay, fancy.
You know how we do. You know, we elevating over here, girl.
I see that. And baby, it is top tier. Do you hear me?
I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to move on up to the big leagues. And, you know, you got to start elevating your game. Got to start doing specific things or whatever, making specific moves. And this is one of those moves. So I talked about Riverside last time and it was, you know, how awesome it was. And I mean, it's pretty awesome. But anyway,
I'm here for it.
How you doing, Angie?
I am wonderful. How are you?
You know, I'm a little under the weather today. You know, got a little bit of the sniffles after everybody around me got sniffles. And I'm like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Y'all ain't got the same type of immunity I got. Ha, ha. Next thing you know, 2 days later, I'm like, oh, shit. Okay.
Gotcha.
Right. The cold was like, huh, you thought you were going to be cool. But needless to say, I'm doing well though. I'm hyped up on vitamins and herbs and all of those different things, which is one of the things that I talked about the last episode, and one of the memorable moments for me for the year. By the way, y'all, this is the IKG. I am Eric, of course. I thank y'all so much for listening in, and it's always a celebration when Angie and I link up. You know
absolutely.
That already.
Absolutely, yes.
So y'all should expect this already. And it's you know, it's almost commonplace now. Again, I never say that you're a friend of the show. I just say you're a resident of the show. You know, you
absolutely. I'll take that title proudly, as I always say.
Right, right. So if you don't know who this is, which you probably will be living under a rock if you didn't know, this is the ever so glorious and luxurious Angie Mitchell from the Sincerely Angie podcast and from SincerelyAngieM.com.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all. I mean, yeah. Welcome.
I sound a little different because I am a tad bit nasally. I was not feeling well last week, so this week I'm coming off of it, so they may not recognize my voice, but it's me, y'all. Sincerely, Angie.
Yeah. The same old, the one who always talks that good stuff about finances, about yes. being an empath, about, you know, just life. And, you know, again, we always talk, you and I, we always communicate and we always connect and we always have so much cool stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, such is the case right now. We're actually going to be discussing, and if you don't know, the last or this particular series I'm doing is called Mementos 2021. Last year, and I'll give a little bit of a recap, last year I did one called Momentous 2020 with the idea or with the thoughts that, you know, 2021 is going to be our year. It's going to be lit. You know, everything's going to be awesome. It ain't going to be that nonsense or that train wreck of 2020. Well, you know. So I don't even need to say, because what's the old saying? What's already understood need not be explained.
Yes.
So I'm not even going to explain how much of a nonsensical, chaotic situation 2021 was. But again, we made it through. You know, this is the last. We're at the final stretch. A few more days left to go.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. And with Mementos 2021, I wanted to expand it more versus keeping it just for myself and some of mm-hmm. the most memorable moments I've had, whether it be good or not so good. I want to share my most memorable moments with the most memorable people for the podcast that happened this year. And you obviously are one of them. That's without even being said, you're one of them. So,
yay.
Yeah. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of bring you on and let's just talk. Let's discuss some memorable moments, you know. So do you have any that you'd like to share?
Well, I would say that there are memorable moments. But when I thought to come on here, when you asked, So you know how things, breadcrumbs. You know how there are just like, you leave a breadcrumb trail so that you can find your way back. That's kind of sort of what I did when trying to think of what to talk about for today's episode with you.
Okay.
And you, I don't know if you told the podcast or not that you do a word of the day. Have you mentioned that on your podcast this year?
I have not.
Or is actually. That strictly through your friends with text messages and phone calls and stuff?
Yeah, it's honestly strictly through friendship and you know, through my friends. Actually, just only a couple of people. Like you, obviously, one of them. I have a few other close friends to me that, you know, we share words of the day. But yeah, no, I've never even, oops. I don't, no, you're good. Because I never even mentioned it now that I think about it. I mean, and that's a faux pas on my end. I never even mentioned it, but we all need to have some type of word of the day. And I think I started this in September, I think. Mm-hmm. And so when I started it in September, I just kept going. I kept it going or whatever. So I, you know, over the last, what, 3-4 months, mm-hmm. I've had a total of, what is that, almost 100 words now that I've said. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So when I thought about that, something immediately came to mind, and I guess this would be my word of the year. You know how most people start off the year with a word that they're going to, I guess, kind of use as the word to get them through the year. I didn't do that this right. year. I've done it before, but this year I couldn't think of a word. But as I was thinking about, Eric does a word of the day, and then I say, what word comes to mind for this year? And perspective came to mind. Mm. And you know, we do life, and we all get to certain places at different points in our life. But when something happens that is profound or either very life-changing, you have a different perspective on life. Like, you have a different outlook, and some things happen, and I tried my hardest to not think about money to talk about today, but I think it's just in me. So, I have a perspective.
But that's
I had like an aha moment as it relates to perspective as it relates to money.
Okay.
So I do these money challenges where the first 6 months of the year, I do my finances, I do my income, I do my bills, and I see how much is left over, and then I see how much I can save. And then I add it all up, and then I strive for just a little bit more than what I think I can save. So the first 6 months of 2021, I saved about $3,000 over what I expected to save.
Nice.
Now, the latter part of the last 6 months, it's been a struggle. So really? Then I do my calculations for the year, and I'm looking, and I'm like, man, okay, so I got to save this amount to catch up. I got to save this amount. And I'm just going and going, and I'm wrecking my brain, and I'm just feeling down in the dumps because I'm thinking, okay, the last 6 months, I haven't done SHIT. Like, it is horrible. I've saved, but it's not as much as I would have wanted to save. So then I said, well, Angela, look at this. You know, you've saved. You're good with saving. Look at it from a different angle. So then I added up what I had from January to November / the beginning of December. And I'm like, okay, that's not bad at all. And then I did even one better. I looked at my check stub because I was wondering, okay, what am I at this year? And when I looked at my check stub versus what I was able to save for the whole year, I was blown away. I basically saved half as much as I made. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So just to give a quick example before I let you chime in, let's say I made $20,000 for the year. Okay. And when I looked at the overall of how much I saved $10,000. Like, I literally saved half of what I made all year. Wow. Now, y'all know those are not my actual numbers, but just think about it. If you made $20,000 in 1 year and you saved $10,000 and you're down on yourself thinking, oh man, I only saved $3,000. But when you look at the bigger picture, you actually save more. And I mean, just the perspective of it, just look at that. And that's where that came from.
Wow.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was like, girl, look at this.
Well, and the beauty in that is recognizing the, like you said, different perspectives. You were able to recognize that, you know, instead of beating yourself up so much and trying to figure out like, okay, so what can I do to get to the next, like, okay, I don't think I did enough. Or mm-hmm. like you said, in the midst of it, you were like, well, you know, I haven't been saving like I need to because, you know, I have this challenge or whatever I need to save throughout the rest of the year. All of a sudden you realize perspective allowed you to see it from, wait, I saved half of my pay this year. That's unheard of. Especially to a lot of people. Right. Especially to a lot of people who are struggling, trying to figure out exactly how to be able to save $200. And obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about this often, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, for those who, I tell people all the time, you got to follow Angie's protocols, y'all, because at the end of the day, she will show you how to save. You know, mm-hmm. it's easy. It's not easy. I have nothing, you know, in terms of that is easy.
Right.
But, you know, again, showing that perspective, and that's another thing too, I guess you can kind of look at as well, you know, how you were able to help other people, myself included, which mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, but how you're able to assist other people with being able to do the exact same thing that you were doing. You know, you're leading right. by example, you know, mm-hmm. and like you said, sometimes you have to stop beating yourself up with what you're not doing and embrace what you are doing or embrace what you've already done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's all about the accomplishments and everything are great, but it's all about the journey that gets you to the accomplishments as well.
It is. And I've had people I love helping people as it relates to money when they come and ask me money questions or finances or how can I do this? How can I, you know, and when they message me, they'll tell me, oh, I'm trying to do this. So I give the most basic principles and then they're like, oh, okay, thank you. And then I don't hear from them again, maybe until, you know, months later, a year or so later. And then they're still asking the same question like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. But just like with any person, if you actually had a financial advisor, if you don't actually show them your finances or you don't actually give them a look into your life, they can't really help you. They can only give you what they can give. So if someone messages me and they're saying, oh, well, I need to figure out how to pay off my credit card. And then I tell you, okay, well, first, see how much you have to spare here. See what's the time frame you have to pay it off. How much is your interest rate? They feel like, oh, well, that's not helping me. Technically it is, but you have to do the footwork. I can't do everything for you. So I love sharing and telling about how I save and how I do the things that I do financially, but I also need you to do the work as well. So for me, it's easy for me to say, oh, save this and save that and oh, do this and oh, do that. But on the other end, you have to have the time and the patience to be able to, and not even just the patience, I would say the drive, because you have to do a deep dive into yourself to see, can I save like she saved? Can I do like she do? And it's, you have to actually be willing to do the work.
I think it's a mindset thing, 100%. Yeah. Because when you are, when you're down in the dumps, right? It's always one of those, it's going to feel like I'll just never get my head above water. Mm-hmm. I think it all starts, and I think you mentioned, well, I know you mentioned this once before, like it all starts with the mindset. It all starts with you making up your mind, saying, you know what, enough is enough. Let me start doing this. And let me start creating this level of wealth for myself. And another thing too, that we often look at is the progress. We look at the progress and we see that there's not a lot of progress moving. You know, there's not a lot going, whatever.
Right.
I'm in the midst of working out right now, you know, and I'm trying to get to a certain size and a certain level. Not necessarily because of, you know, I mean, honestly, it's strictly for cosmetic reasons. I just want to be swole. That's just me. But, you know, but at the same time, I'm learning more about health and about nutrition while I'm doing it. And so for a while, I would be like, man, I've been doing this since about September. So I'll say, you know, man, I haven't gotten any larger. You know, I haven't really seen a six pack or whatever. You know, it's going to take time. I understand that. But I'm working my butt off, you know, doing these different exercises, all these different type of workout routines, and I'm not seeing any type of progress or I'm not seeing what I expect is the progress or progress, goals or whatever. Yeah. However, whenever I would talk to people, whenever people would see me, they'd be like, man, okay, you're getting a little nice there. You're getting a little cut or whatever. not only that, but when it comes to the nutrition side of it, because again, once you're working out or whatever, you begin to change everything. You know, and without, whether you're doing it on purpose or whether you're doing it accidentally, you're changing a lot of things. So I took out dairy. I no longer eat dairy anymore. Very rarely will I eat like white bread and carbs and stuff like that. I mean, I still do, you know, my red beans and rice because I love it. But when it comes to creating that space or getting to the goal, to the end result, it all starts with mindset change. And like I said, once you change your mindset, then everything else will begin to take place for you or take shape for you.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the same principle with finances, with money. You may not see progress immediately, but eventually you will.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll see the progress. You know what I mean?
You will. Absolutely. You just spoke of a mindset shift, which is necessary for the growth of wealth in yourself, as well as in your family and in your lineage. When, you know, once you pass on and you leave certain things for your family or you set them up for a future, when you mention the mindset shift, another thing that perspective kind of did for me this year was, and I've talked about it on a few different episodes, but there was a meme that I saw. And I want to say that we talked about it as well, but this meme really did change my perspective on a lot of things. And it says, if another can easily anger you, it is because you are off balance with yourself. And when I tell you, when I first read that, I'm like, ouch. Like, I couldn't say amen. I could only say ouch.
Right.
And so
it hit different.
At that point, yes, it hit me. And at that point, my main focus was peace. And so family, friends, loved ones, any, you know, the argument, no, I'm not going back and forth with people. If you stop talking to me because of whatever reason and you didn't explain it or express it to me, and I know that I was not at fault or didn't do anything wrong, I'm okay with it. I'm not elevating my voice. I'm not going to upset myself. And I focus more on getting back into the trying to meditate, trying to do yoga. I tried to do a headstand is what I was trying to do.
Nice.
Because I saw this video of this girl, and for me, that just equaled balance to me. If I could do a headstand and or a headstand, handstand or headstand, whatever you choose to call it. If I could do that, I related that to being balanced because it's something that I'm not used to doing. It's something that I've never been able to do. But I figured if I can do that, it'll give me a sense of peace and a sense of centeredness and a sense of balance within myself that I feel like I had not had before I sent, before I saw that post. And I literally think about that post so often. I talk about it on my podcast a lot. Like, it literally has just been a defining moment for me. And my perspective has changed on a lot. Like, there are people in far off or far worse situations than I'm in. There are people who are literally struggling to live right now. And I'm going to get upset because somebody said something about me or get upset because my day didn't go how I expected. No.
Right.
And so it's a shift. It's a mindset shift. I literally have to cut off my thoughts if I'm thinking about getting angry or if I'm thinking about being upset about something so minuscule. I'm just like, oh, you know what? It's fine. And at the breadcrumbs I spoke of earlier, even the things that aren't right in my life right now, it's a breadcrumb for the future that's going to bring me back to where I'm supposed to be in the first place. It's going to get me to where I need to be. So why get upset? Because I know that all of these things that are happening, they're lining me up for something that I've prayed for. That's something that I'm currently praying for, or something that I didn't even know I expected or needed. So
really?
Yeah.
See, and that, again, that all of that is, all of that kind of ties in with the idea of the idea of laying breadcrumbs is so powerful because when people go through different type of scenarios or different type of circumstances, they do their best to remove themselves from that circumstance or whatever and not look at it as a learning lesson. That's another thing, too, that I had to learn this year. I guess my year was about perspective as well, too. And learning more about how to be able to create these snapshots, you know, you call them breadcrumbs. I call them snapshots. How to create these snapshots or whatever so you can revisit these particular things again. And again, I think all of that has to do with the idea of being in the present. You know, you're being in the now, you're being in the moment or whatever, you know, instead of looking forward down the line or whatever. Because, you know, think about it. When you throw breadcrumbs, you're not throwing breadcrumbs so far, you know, so far ahead because you never know where they land.
Right.
What you're doing is you're dropping them. You're dropping them as you walk. So why not embrace the moment? Embrace the time where you're dropping them. Because, again, you'll need these. Eventually, you'll need these moments.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? I don't know what either cartoon character or what movie or where the breadcrumbs thing became like really popularized. But like if you were in the forest and you could not figure out how to get back to where you were, you would leave the breadcrumbs so that you can see where you, which way you came in at. And you can go back. Like you can pick up, you can follow the breadcrumbs to go back to where you need to be. And when I spoke of the breadcrumbs and when I just thought about all the things that kind of happened this year for me, it just solidifies that God is strategic and nothing really happens by chance. Everything literally happens for a reason. And once we get once we're no longer recording, which I wanted to tell you about it earlier, but I couldn't get out. It's whatever. I'll tell you about it. But it literally shows you that the things that you do are leading you to a different location and a different path. And when I say it brings you home, I just mean that it gets you to where you need to be. It gets you right back to where you're supposed to be. You may not go and backtrack and pick up the breadcrumbs to get to where you were if you lost your path, although that is possible.
Right.
But it actually gets you to where you're supposed to be. And if you're woke enough, and I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, as it relates to like the racial woke. I mean it, if you are wise enough or you're, I guess they call it a third eye is awakened. If your senses are open enough to receive the signs that are there, you for sure can use those little tidbits or those little breadcrumbs to kind of find your way to where you're going.
Right. Right. Staying woke, you know?
Yeah.
But not to the sense of, like you said, you know, when it comes to like the political climate nowadays, but just being understanding of everything that's going on around you.
Yeah.
That's the beauty in all of this, you know? I do want to switch gears, though, just a little bit. Well, not even switch gears, but kind of go back to something that you said earlier or something that I had said earlier in regards to saving and stuff. you know, following some of the principles that you had, you know, do your best to save as much as you can here, save a little bit there. When you get something extra, you put that in the account as well. And so I did that. Oh, and you also said, you know, don't just allow your money to be in one spot. You know, you got to kind of maneuver your money and and start looking for better opportunities and better places that have better interest rates and things like that. So I did that.
Yay.
So at the I know, right? So at the beginning of the year, I made a point to do my best to try to save at least $10,000, right? Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen because, you know, I wasn't robbing Peter to pay Paul or anything like that, but I was, you know, I was doing pretty decent. And I was like, well, it wasn't enough to where I can save enough money to, okay, I can save an entire check, you know, and put it in an account. But that was one of my moments, actually, was that I was able to save $10,000, and I wanted to save it by my birthday, by September 20th. And I was able to save it. I put the remaining amount in there right on August 30th. I put the remaining amount in. So come September 1st, I actually hit $10,000 saved.
That's wonderful.
I know, right? And, you know, and again, I wasn't really even thinking about it. I was just like, okay. Because for the first few months or whatever, like they always say, you know, everything is a 21-day habit or 21 days before it becomes habitual. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that. I started saying, okay, you know what? Let me just do this. Let me do this. You know, I get a little bonus check. Let me just go ahead and put half the bonus check in there and I'll keep the other half for myself, or I'll pay the other half with bills or whatever. And and that's what I did. So I want to thank you for allowing me, you know, for basically giving me the core foundation. Like you said, you don't give a too graphic detail on things. You give a significantly simplified version for people to get them to follow it, because what you want them to do is you want them to learn the principles. So let me give you the foundation first. And then once I give you the foundation, then you can begin to grow and you'll start to make much better money moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so absolutely.
I want to thank you for that. I truly do.
Oh, no problem at all. I help where I can. And you know, I don't withhold any information. I'm not charging anybody to do anything. But if I find out something, I'm letting my people know. And my people meaning human beings in general. I don't care what race you are. I'm helping anybody, because when we don't know something, we literally are losing money. Like we're losing it. And another thing that has been extremely eye-opening for me, or I guess what I have really changed my perspective on, is, which I think we talked about this in the most recent money episode that we talked about, that's on the YouTube channel, but with spending, I have been saving, but I also have been not spending my own money. I've been using OPM. I've been using other people's money, so to speak. I've been strictly using my credit card for everything and then paying it off either the next day or the next Friday, or, you know, so I'm not lingering. I don't have a balance that's lingering, but I'm using my credit card for literally everything. And then I'm cashing in my reward points to get those dollars. Like I said, we talked about this, but this is something that I'm sticking to now. Like, I don't even use my debit card anymore.
Really?
At all. Not using it. If I can avoid it at all costs, I'm not using my debit card.
So, I mean, obviously, without getting into any details, you can give me a ballpark figure. How much have you saved with, not saved, but how much rewards points have you, let's just say with, I know Capital One has, they have a venture card, which it gives you points, you know. So how many points do you believe you're able to save or to accumulate simply by exchanging or simply by switching your payments to your credit card versus to your debit card?
Well, let me say this. I watched a video and this guy, I think it was on Netflix Explained, and I think it was the credit cards explained is what really came to mind for me. And this guy, his name starts with a B. I think it's Brian, but he has a YouTube channel where he strictly uses his credit card for everything, and he used his reward points for travel. Like, he has millions of dollars in points, or millions of points, which in turn is like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of money. Right. So I said, you know what? I've been trying to avoid having credit card debt, but I don't have to necessarily have the debt. I can just use my card and then pay it right off. So that way I'm still getting the points, which is in turn free money for me, and I don't carry a balance, which is not affecting my credit score. So I have about 5 different credit cards.
Okay.
And I try to rotate them strictly because I don't want any of them to go into an inactive mode. But what I have decided is the one that has the most points and the more rewards that come with the points that I have is the one that I'm going to use every day that I shop. Also, a footnote, I'm not really a shopper. I don't do much swiping of my credit card in general, only because of the holidays now I've been doing it. But for the most part, if it's not like food for the week and if it's not gas, I'm not using my card at all. So to answer your question, I have 2 Chase credit cards and I don't use them very much because y'all know my horror story with Chase and how much interest rate I have on those 2 credit cards. So I don't use it. I only use it every couple of months just so that it's not inactive. So I actually just cashed out those points because I want to hit some more money goals. So I'm using that money to achieve my goals. So one of them I cashed out had 546 points, which is $5.46. And the other one had $9.47, which in turn is 947 points, which is $9.47. So I cashed those out and I was able to cash them out from my credit card company to my my checking account. So I didn't have to go and turn anything in or I didn't have to redeem anything. It strictly was I put in my account number and it transferred the funds over the next day. Wow. Granted, those are just a few dollars, but it's also because I don't use that credit card because of what I said. Their interest rate is too high.
Right.
Now, on another credit card I have 8,600 points, which is $86. And that's strictly because it's attached to my PayPal account. And when I order stuff through PayPal, that's how I got those points. So the one that I'm using the most, it has the most rewards for every time you shop. Not strictly just gas, not just travel, not just groceries. It's every time you use a card, you get points. And that one currently, which I just got this card, so that's why it doesn't have many points, but it's 2,700 points, which is $27. But like I said, I just started really using it. Right. And that's going to be the one that I use more often.
Right. Okay. So now that brings me to 2 questions that I wanted to ask then. The first question is, and you know, again, y'all, this was supposed to be a 15 minute episode, but as you can see, we're what, 30 minutes, almost 40 yeah. minutes into it now.
Sorry, y'all.
I mean, you know, this is how we do. This is how we do. But it all ties into the idea of, you know, some very significant moments in your life, you know, whether it be lessons that you've learned, whether it be wins or, you know, successes or whatever, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's all a part of the, you know, because these are things that you learned this year, you know, and that can actually help you forever, you know, for as long as you're doing that.
Even if it wasn't learned this year, my perspective shifted with it because I've always used credit cards, but it was like, wait a minute now. Don't just use your money. Use the credit card. Because I was avoiding credit card debt at all costs. So Perspective literally, it ruled my life this year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean.
So I'm sorry to interrupt your questions you had, though.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So, it's 2 different questions. One is, in your opinion, what would be the appropriate amount of credit cards to have? And I'm asking that because I've talked to several people who some people have no credit cards at all. Other people have like 9 credit cards. I myself have 6 cards. I have 6 cards. You know, so I like you. What I do is I kind of like shift them throughout, you know, all the different cards or whatever. And any type of payment plan that I have or any type of subscription plan or whatever, it goes directly from out of the credit cards and I just pay the credit card back because that's just kind of, you know, what is, I follow the same principle that you follow, you know, do your best to not use your debit card. And I remember a YouTube video that I saw and a guy said something like, you know, the debit card is still considered one of the most insecure cards that you can have, you know, in terms of security, in terms of hacking and, you know, and you know, any type of issues going on with it. Because if something happens, like remember the Target situation, you know, a while ago, and a lot of these people had debit cards versus credit cards. Now, mind you, if you would have had a debit card, or I'm sorry, if you would have had a credit card, it probably would have took the issuer maybe 3 to 5 business days. But, you know, because you have a debit card, you have to do an investigation on it, and that could tie your money up, especially if you have rent coming up. You know, you have rent due. So, yeah, using credit cards instead of debit cards for everyday transactions is probably one of the best, one of the most ideal things, in my opinion, that you can do. Now, mind you, I am not a financial advisor. Neither one of us claim to be financial advisors. We're only doing what works for us, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, how many, in your opinion, what do you think would be the appropriate amount of credit cards to have?
I think based on research that I've done in the past and what people tell me, 3 is a good number. I have, like I said, I have 5. And for me, sometimes when I'm pulling out my cards, I'm like, wait. Which one is this one? No, is this the one I'm... No, it's not this one. So I try and keep the one that I'm using now more than any of them at the front instead of it getting lost behind any others.
Right.
But yeah, I would say between 3 and 5. You don't need many. You want to make sure and keep them active. So every 2 or 3 months, make sure to use the one that you don't use most often. But also, like Eric said that I told him a while back or that I told everyone a while back, call these companies and figure out what's going on. If you don't look at your statement or if you can't look at it with the online app, online or with the app to see what your interest rates are, what your cash back or reward points are. Do you get 3-time rewards? Do you even get cash back for certain things? If you're only getting food and gas and you're using a credit card that gives you points only for airline. And flights and stuff and hotels, then you're using the wrong card. So you really have to dig deep and see which one is going to be more beneficial for you. And when I looked at the card that I most recently got that I hadn't been using, it's the one that gave me the most points. And I'm like, what are you doing? So then I really started using it in the last 2 months. So, which is why it only has 2,700 points. But over the last 2 months or so, it's like 3 times cash back for groceries. And I think 5 times cash back, or not cash back, rewards, 3-time rewards for gas. And I'm like, this is all I do is groceries and gas. So why am I not using this card? So just look into your, I always say, do an evaluation of your financial life. Like, look into your stuff. Look into your stuff.
Right. And you're absolutely right with that. Look into your stuff and see what needs to be done. See what you need to do, and just complete an audit of your finances.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I was listening, and I think I may have mentioned this to you once before, but I was listening to an episode of, and I think I may have actually talked about this on the podcast episode too. I was listening to the show, and one of the ladies said, you know, for the end of the year, what she does is she tends to audit her subscriptions, and she goes through each subscription, anything that's coming out of her account, whether it be her credit card or her bank account or whatever. She goes and she takes a look at it and she evaluates whether or not it makes the cut for the next year, she said, because she knows that each year, you know, there'll be new subscription coming up, there'll be new things that people want to sign up to or whatever. And that was something that I haven't done it yet, but I said that I was going to do that this year for the holiday season, is just to go in and reevaluate all of my subscriptions, because truth be told, it's funny, I asked my wife the other day when I was thinking about it. I said, you know, I said, how many subscriptions do you have coming out? You know, just subscriptions, payments, whatever. I said, give me a dollar amount. She said, probably about $85 or $95. And one of it is one of our larger numbers, which is $60 for our cable. So she has that coming out of her, one of her credit cards. But that credit card gives her 6% back on streaming services. So, right. So it makes sense for her to instead of me paying it, it makes sense for her to pay it, because I don't on any of, none of my credit cards get 6% cash back for subscriptions. And, you know, people may say, oh, $6, you know, 6% is nothing, you know, it's only like $3 or $4 or whatever, but still $4 a month times 12 months, $48. That's $48. Yeah. You know, $48 more that you didn't have before. And so, you know, I'm ashamed to say, but I have probably around $300 in subscriptions.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I have 3 different music streaming services, which is asinine. I don't know why.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, you love music. Not that it's an excuse, but you know.
I do. I truly do love music, but I don't love it enough to whereas I have to pay $50 a month for it, you know?
Yeah.
I pay $50 a month for that, you know? I have my podcast stuff, you know, my web host and my service, my provider or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's understandable. I need that, you know, because I want to be able to continue to provide amazing content to you ladies and gentlemen. But,
right.
But everything else, you know, $15 to a site that I haven't used in 6 months. I'm paying $15 a month.
Wow.
I haven't even used it. Yeah, I haven't used the site in 6 months. Come on now.
If that's not proof that an audit or you need to reevaluate some of the things that you're paying for and or subscribing to, if that's not an eye opener, I don't know what is.
Exactly. And wow. So when she said it, I was like, you know what? Let me do that too. And so mm-hmm. after I got to like $300, I was like, okay, let me stop because I'm going to have to sit down for a minute. I may have to sit down and I'm going to have to go through all of these with a fine tooth comb. Like, again, I'm paying a lot of money on a lot of stuff that I would probably say at least 1/3 of the subscriptions that I am paying for, I don't even use. So, or I don't use it. I don't use it consistently. I may use it sporadic, you know, like Spotify. Mm-hmm. Spotify is a perfect example of that. I'm paying $10 a month and I haven't used Spotify in, I don't know, maybe 3 months. Because because I have YouTube Music, of course, which is mm-hmm. one of the best ones. And I have.
It is.
Right. And I have Apple Music, too. So, and I have Apple Music through a full-on subscription. So it's like, it's definitely is one of those things that you have to look into doing an audit, creating an audit or providing yourself an audit of what you're spending, what you're saving, and, mm-hmm. and remove some of the things that aren't detrimental to you. That aren't necessary to you. Right. So
yeah, absolutely.
So my second question was, you know, with the rise of all of these, I guess these would be considered subscription services too, where you can pay over time services,
mm-hmm.
Like Afterpay and, I think Stripe is another one. There's several different ones that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? On the buy now, pay later model?
I don't do it at all. I can't even relate. And this is, you know, not shade. It's not. I see them when I check out, when I am ordering online, which is very rare. Only for special occasions, birthdays or whatever the case may be, holidays.
Right.
But I see them. And I just bypass it and go to PayPal and order my stuff through my credit card that's attached to my PayPal. And that's it. I assume it's a good thing that you can get your total amount separated into like 4 different payments or however they do that. But my main thing is to not owe anybody anything. I am trying to live a debt-free life. Besides my student loans, I don't owe anyone anything.
Right.
So I can't even speak on it because I don't know. I don't use it. Never thought about using it, and I don't plan on using it. If I don't have it, it's just I can't get it.
Right. The reason I'm asking is because I was in a store the other day. I was in Old Navy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Old Navy now offers that subscription.
In store?
In store, yeah. It's like the buy now. It's not through Afterpay. It's through... No, you know what? It wasn't Old Navy. I'm sorry. It was J. Crew, which is, you know, my favorite store in the whole world, jcrew.com. Mm-hmm. But I went to J. Crew and, I, you know, just kind of shopping around for some stuff or whatever. And they now offer that option. And so I was in the store doing some shopping and they had a lady came in and purchased, I would probably say, 2 pair of socks. Maybe some a t-shirt and some other things too. Maybe like 5 or 6 total things. It ended up being like about $27 total.
Okay.
And she said, "Okay, well, I want to go ahead and do the buy now, pay later option."
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, I mean, again, not checking anybody's pockets at all. I don't know exactly what her financial situation is, but $27 though.
Yeah.
$27.
And when you mentioned it, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, most of the stuff I buy is not that expensive. So if I can't buy it now, do you think I want $4 coming on my check this week or $4 coming out next week? Like, I could just do it now.
Right. Just do it now and get it out the way. And now, I can understand if it's something like a cell phone. You know, cell phones are extremely expensive now.
Yeah.
You know, and they have installment plans and things like that. So I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I can even understand I can understand any type of electronics or even furniture. I can understand right. that. But when it comes to clothes, I don't know how I feel about. Well, I know how I feel about it. I just feel like if I don't have the money to get it, then I'm not going to get it.
That's yeah.
You know. So I was curious to know your thoughts on that, especially from a financial standpoint, because does it, and mind you, some of these different buy now, pay later companies provide interest as well. They have interest
on
top of
that. I'm sure they do, but I'm sure that they don't advertise that part of it though.
Right. Right. So again, It just touched me, you know, and I was like, you know what? Let me ask Angie about this and see what your thoughts were. So I'm good. It's good to hear your thoughts on it, your opinions on it, and how you feel that it could possibly be a detriment to your financial standing. Because what if, let's just say hypothetically, you know, because what's the old saying? Out of sight, out of mind, right? So you have four payments of, I don't know, $11 or $10, and you forget about it. Mm-hmm. You got rent coming out.
I was going the same place you're going. Trust me.
You have your light bill coming out. You're already cutting it close. So, and when that, trust me, when that hits, that extra, you know, afterpay or whatever hits or whatever, your financial institution probably won't give you any mercy for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely be mindful of it. In my opinion, I think you should be mindful of it, and as always, be responsible. You know.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that as soon as I was waiting for you to pause, but then when I said, you know, when you said out of sight, out of mind, I said, oh, okay, we're on the same page, because already, let's just say your payments are, maybe you had an $80 charge, and then your payments are $20 every 2 weeks, or however they do it. I don't know if they take it directly out of your paycheck or they take it directly out of the car you have attached to. I don't know how that goes. But you're thinking, oh, I got $50 left over in my account, and then they take $20 out for this, and you've already just made like a $40 charge. So now you're going to overdraft with $10 because you completely forgot about one of those afterpay type of services that was due to come out your account, because you already got the clothes
right.
or the items that you purchased. So you, in your mind, technically, because the way we are wired, it's paid for already.
It's already done. Yeah, it's already paid for.
Because usually if there's, you know, layaway back in the day, layaway, you didn't get the items until they were paid for.
Right.
So this new version of layaway is you get the items and then, but you still owe us money.
That didn't jive well a lot of times.
No, we're not used to that. Our mind is not thinking that, oh, yeah, I still got to pay for this. I walk around with these new kicks on, but they're on layaway kind of. No,
yeah, I'm paying.
Your
I'm
mind
paying
isn't thinking about you still owe that money.
Right. I'm doing a payment plan on a new pair of Jordans, you know, which, again, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, do you. Yeah. Do your thing. Mm-hmm. I just, when it comes to building wealth and building some level of financial stability, making moves like that doesn't sound appropriate, you know. In fact, it actually sounds like you're hustling backwards. And so, again, be mindful of what it is that you do, and be mindful of the of your money. Be mindful of your money.
Yeah.
Please.
The thing about it is, though, and I think if you listen to some of the influencers or anybody who's like an advocate of saving or financial wealth or generational wealth or all of these things, you'll hear them say, I'm going to say about 80% of them will say, I downsized for a year, or I cut out this for a year, or I did this, I sacrificed for a year so that I can do this. I was just talking to somebody with stocks and options and all of these things, and the guy in 2020, he was making $9 an hour. But now, and even with the $9 an hour, he said, I was taking all of my checks and I was saving them so that I can put them into the stock market. And now he's making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 per contract that he does with options and stuff. I'm just throwing numbers out there, but that's just an idea. Like, most people will sacrifice for a year, 2 years, or whatever. Wall Street Trapper, I believe he talked about how he slept on his grandmother or his aunt's or somebody's couch for a year while he was working, and all of his checks went strictly into the market. Like, some of these things, some of these people, I should say, they understand the art of sacrifice, or the right. benefit of sacrifice. And you sacrifice for 5 months or a year, 6 months, whatever the case may be, and you're going to be in a much better place then, you know, that year before you... Okay, let me repeat that. You're going to be in a much better place in a year than you were today. And that's the place where I'm at. You've heard on my podcast where I say I'm transitioning, and I've cut back on some things because I know that what I want is greater than what I'm going through right now. So right. I'm not shopping a whole lot. I'm not doing this, and I cut this out and I cut that out, and I'm legit doing things. And it's like, hey, y'all, family, friends, y'all know how I am with money. Y'all know what I'm doing. Y'all know what I'm striving for. So I can't come to this event, or I can't buy you what you want, but here's a little something. So sacrifice is necessary. Go listen to the greats. They'll tell you,
I agree.
Oh, I stopped doing this. I don't wear Gucci. I don't wear Louis. I don't wear Prada, but I do wear this. And mm-hmm. it's just as great quality as the next thing.
Right. I agree. I agree totally. Last thing that I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. I saw a video recently that you did another bargain hunt. and, you know, I remember seeing a couple of videos like that. I think you did one with the Dollar Tree.
Yes.
And how you talked about how you can pretty much find almost anything that you need in the Dollar Tree.
Yes.
Right. And I wanted you to kind of expound on that a little bit again, because all of this is still a part of that whole financial learning how to be able to sacrifice one thing for the next thing, you know, learning how to not go to, well, you don't have a Kroger down there, but not going to Albertsons, you know, and pay $50, or not going to, what's the
Walmart,
or Rouse's or anything like
Rouse's,
that.
Rouse's, yeah.
Yeah, not going to Rouse's or anything like that to try to spend, you know, you're going to spend $3.50 or $4 on a 12-pack of water when you can go to Dollar Tree and get two six-packs of water.
Yeah.
For $2. You know, so can you talk a little bit about that also?
First of all, thank you so much for watching my YouTube video, even though I know that a Dollar Tree haul is probably nowhere near on your list of things that you would like to do.
Well, no. Well,
here's, but I thank you for your support.
Well, but here's the interesting thing, because the other day or a month ago, I was in Dollar Tree. I was looking for some index cards. I was looking for some stickers because I was creating a vision board. And I went to Walmart, and you know, I had a specific type of idea for my vision board. I said, okay, I want it to look exactly like this, which I'll send you a picture, and I'll probably post it on. I'll make it as the thumbnail. But I said, okay, I want my vision board to look exactly like this. I want it to have pictures on it. I want to have index cards with stickers on it. And also get stickers and stuff like that. So I went to Walmart and I priced a vision board, like a, you know, like one of those threefold poster boards or whatever.
Boards. Yeah.
Some index cards, some stickers, which weren't the proper stickers, but they were stickered nonetheless. It was like $11 for all three of those, right?
Yep.
I went to the Dollar Tree.
Sounds about right.
I went to the Dollar Tree, got one poster board, two packs of stickers, two packs of index cards. For $5.
Yes.
And I actually got some bottled water while I was in there. I got some gum while I was in there. So I'm like $7 up. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. So that's why and I was like, you know, and then now they're starting to expand their inventory.
Yeah,
I'm
not excited about Dollar Tree Plus at all.
I'm not. Why not?
I go there and I bypass that section.
Yeah, because it's like $3, $4 or whatever.
It's $3 and $5 items.
Right.
And I'm not interested. You know, Dollar Tree is $1.
Right.
So I'm so glad you brought up that point because that's exactly where I was going with it when you asked, you know, let's talk about Dollar Tree. Well, number one, when I talked to you earlier and I said I had to run some errands, when my niece made me go outside because I wasn't going, I ended up going to four Dollar Trees today looking for one item. So, first of all, that's trash.
It is. Well, at least they're kind of close. At least they're kind of close proximity to you, I would assume. So.
Yes, they are. They're right. Okay, they're all in the same area within a 5-mile radius or whatever. But
good.
So what I was going to say, my number one point would be to get to know your stores. So I shop at Walmart and I shop at Dollar Tree. I know if I go to Walmart, I know the item is not going to be $1 there.
Right.
And I mean that in a sense of like, there are some containers, like these bins, where you could put maybe pencils or maybe you can put like some hair products or something, and they're about that size. Well, I've seen a lot of people use them as shoe boxes. So just picture shoes fitting inside of like a little container. Walmart has that container for 97 cent, but Dollar Tree has it for a dollar. But I know that because I know those stores. So
Right.
I know for that particular bin, I would never go to Dollar Tree because it's 3 cent more. And I know y'all are probably like, it's not that serious behind 3 cent. Well, 3 cent plus the state tax that you'll pay. If I know that I can get it cheaper at Walmart, I'll go to Walmart, but I know for sure it'll be at Dollar Tree cheaper. So what the first thing I'll do above all else, I'll go to Dollar Tree first to see what I can get. And then if it's not at Dollar Tree, then I go to Walmart. So that's how I kind of maneuver with Dollar Tree versus saving money and spending certain money. And just, I know the store. I know Walmart like the back of my hand. Any Walmart you send me in, I know what direction to go, even if I've never been there before.
Right.
I know where to find a pharmacy. I know where to find a deli. I know where to find the shoes. I just know them because they're set up pretty much the same, but I also have gotten to know the store. So I don't aimlessly walk around Walmart. I'm very particular when I go through that store. So when I go to Dollar Tree, I know, okay, I can find name brand stuff at Dollar Tree because there are things that are name brand. Like you have the Nestle water at Dollar Tree. It's not just the Geyser or Geyser Springs or
Springs or
whatever that,
whatever, right.
yeah, it's not just that. They have Nestle water there. And I know that Walmart has Nestle water. So, like you say, you could get 2 6-packs for $2, but then at Walmart, you'll pay $4. What did I just say? $6? I meant to say $2. You can get 2 6-packs for $2 versus if you go to Walmart, you're paying $4. And for me, wherever you can save, saving small is still saving. And when you think about all of those $2, $3, $4 that you're saving, that accumulates. Like it really does add up.
It does. It does. Look, a penny saved is a penny earned, right?
Yep.
So you want to, it doesn't matter. I've gotten to that mindset now, very similar to yours, where I don't care if it is, and my wife is notorious for this. There'd be things where she don't even want to pay shipping for it. Like, I'd rather go into the store, and I'm like, and I'll try to explain to her, like, it's the same. You're going to spend the same amount of money if you go with gas and everything. She's
With
like, no,
gas,
it's not the same.
yeah, that's me too, though.
She said,
It's
it's,
me.
yeah, she said, I would not, I do not want to spend. I'll just say, and then she has something called Anchor Babies, which I think I talked about this before too. Are you familiar with an Anchor Baby?
No.
Okay, so an Anchor Baby would be an item. Let's just say you're shopping at Old Navy. I'll use Old Navy as an example, and you're shopping online at Old Navy, and you know they have free shipping for anything over $35. So what she would do, and all she really needs is maybe a shirt and a pair of pants, which equals about $22. So what she would do is she would buy what they call an anchor baby, which is something, a third piece, so she can meet that $35 threshold for free shipping,
Oh,
and then she'll
okay.
return that third piece.
What?
Apparently this is a thing. This is a real thing that people do all the time. So it's not,
No way.
yeah, this isn't, it's not like it's something that's forbidden or whatever, but this is something that people do all the time, you
I
know.
didn't think of that.
Yeah, so you'll buy that extra thing or whatever, get free shipping for it, because you know shipping is like $6, $7 or whatever. So yeah, you'll get that free shipping, and then you'll return that other piece, simply because you don't need it,
Wow.
you know, or you can just
I
gift it to
never
somebody
thought
else or
about
whatever.
that.
Yeah, it's a real thing. But again, the idea of but she does that simply so she can save money, because the goal is to save money, and you can save money however you can, you know.
And I know like okay, so y'all, if you listen to my podcast, I hate that I have to say certain things so many times, but it makes sense in my head to say it. If you listen to my podcast, I have an ad called Rakuten. And with Rakuten, it's like a web browser that you can use to do some shopping, and it tracks your shopping, and basically it gives you cash back from certain stores without you really realizing it. So you go to their website, you type in a store, you search the store that you want, you click that store, and it brings you to that store's website. But if this website is going to give you money or cash back just from shopping and clicking their link, and then you still are going to the actual website of the store you want, that's still money that you can add into your account. That's still money that you can use. And there's more than just Rakuten. You don't have to use that one. I think there's one called Honey, if I'm not mistaken.
Honey is another one. And yep, I'm familiar with them.
It's like, when you're shopping online, why wouldn't you want to get some sort of cash back or some sort of incentive while shopping? You're spending money to buy whatever you're about to buy. And if they're going to give you 3%, 2% cash back, I don't care if it's $2, $3. Give it back. I want it.
Because it's I don't care. Right. And it's $2 or $3 less than what you were paying before. You know, you're going to get that back. I mean, it's again, these are the simple money tips that people can use to say that, look, how do you think the rich stay rich?
Exactly.
You know, they do that simply by pinching every penny that they can. You know, the real wealthy people are not the ones with the expensive chains, with the expensive attire, with the expensive vehicles and cars and whatever. They're not the real wealthy ones are the ones who will go to Kmart. They don't have a Kmart anymore. Or do they? Do they still have a Kmart? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But no. They'll be the one. They won't go to Saks Fifth Avenue to go buy, you know, this Fendi shirt or whatever. They'll go right to Walmart and buy a 5-pack of T-shirts because it's all the same. And that's how you accumulate wealth. That's how you stay wealthy.
Yeah, and they I saw a quote or someone said one time, it was a wealthy person, and they said, you know, the rich people watch every penny. And you know how I not too long ago said, some people will say, girl, it's only 3 cents. It's three of my cent that I want back. So yeah, I'm going to go to Walmart and get it cheaper.
Yep.
And, you know, I get the whole gas thing. You're wasting more gas. But if you build a habit of looking to spend or looking to get the best bang for your buck, then it becomes a way of life. It becomes like it makes sense to you. Yes, I'm going to go here where I can get my 3 cent and I'm not overpaying for something where I can get it for cheaper. You know what I mean? Because when you look at a lot of these boutiques or you look at a lot of these online stores, they're all selling the same item.
They truly are. They truly are.
They are selling the same item. It's just you can find it cheaper elsewhere, and you will most likely go to a different site. Oh no, I'm not going to go to Fashion Nova. I can go to Shein and get it cheaper. Or I'm not going to go to this store. I can go to this store and get it cheaper. Why wouldn't you? You know, that's how the wealthy stay wealthy, because they literally watch every penny and they're not reckless with it.
Right.
And they place value. The value is not necessarily in their dollar, but it's what they invest into.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, oh well, you know, I'm looking for status by wearing this Versace shirt. They're not going to say that. They're gonna say, okay, is it worth it to me? Yeah, the quality may be there. Okay, I'll treat myself to that. But that's not a way of life for them. Every single thing in their closet is not $1,600 for one article of clothing or something like that. And I'm just reaching because I don't know every millionaire's closet. But when you think of their mindset, you know that that's not how they're operating.
Right. They're truly not operating. At least I don't think they are. Or let me say this. If I were a millionaire, I wouldn't, or when I become a millionaire, I won't operate in that notion, because at that point, because I'm from the bottom. So I'm starting, you know, I'm learning how to manage money properly, and I'm learning how to be able to navigate towards success and financial wealth. So I'm going to start doing the things, or let me rephrase that. I'm going to stop doing things that will blow money. You know, I'm not going to go out and, again, these subscription services I was talking about earlier, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of money on subscription services when I don't use all of them. It's the same.
Right.
It's the equivalent of somebody going out and buying 10 cars. For what?
And you can only drive one at a time.
Exactly. So, man,
it's all about perspective. It brings us back to perspective. Our word of the year.
Yep. It brings us right back to perspective. And ultimately, that's where it all leads to. And that's where it all will continue to go to. And as long as you have the mindset to manage your money, then you're going to have to shift your perspective. Well, as long as you have the mindset and the perspective to want to manage your money, then it will work out in your favor. You just got to let it work out in your favor. You know what I mean? And you just got to be diligent with it.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That, and you have to be mindful. Like, when you look at people who are wealthy and who have money, they are not, they have the option. That's what I'm going to say. They have options. I may be very frugal, and I may say, hey, you guys, go sign up using my code with Rakuten so you can get cash back or you can go get this. But at the end of the day, if I wanted to pay $200 for something, I could pay it and not have to worry about, oh, well, how am I going to make this happen? And do I have to adjust this? And maybe if I switch this over to this, I have the option to do that. So I'm frugal, and I'm very, very I'm cautious by choice, because I don't have to be. Anything that I want at Dollar Tree, I can buy a Dollar Tree, honestly. Not, I'm not being honest, but I'm just saying, if I wanted to buy everything they had in stock, I could do that without any problems.
Right.
No issues at all. But I don't operate that way. I choose to be frugal. I choose to be mindful. I choose to be disciplined with my finances, because I know at any given day, it could all be taken away, because anything is possible.
Right.
But I also know that if you respect the dollar, that dollar is going to respect you. And if you save a dollar, that dollar at one point in life or at some point is going to save you. And I respect my money. I respect me. I respect the life I live. So I know in order for me to continue to keep that respect for myself, I have to be respectful of my finances. I have to be respectful of how I spend it and what I place value on. And I also have to be disciplined, because if I'm just out here swiping my card, spending, What am I actually doing for my future? Because I'm living in the now. I'm right. living in the now, and just there's no concern for a future.
No, I don't
operate that way.
Well, and there's one thing you said that stuck with me, and a lot of people just, I feel a lot, if a lot of people kind of get this embedded into their head, then everything will be, it'll be a lot easier for them to be able to navigate through things. There's no greater joy than being able to afford something if something happens. There's no greater joy in that, right? Being able to, if something happened, God forbid, something happens to your car, you know, something happens to, you know, something in your home or your whatever that you have to pay for, something that you have to pay, you know, at least I'll say, you know, 500, somewhere between 500 to, you know, over $1,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to say, oh, okay, cool. You know, I don't want to get out of it, whatever, but here you go. You know,
mm-hmm.
being able to do, there's a joy in being able to do that, because there's so many people who don't have that ability.
And
that's why, ladies and gents, I always tell you, like, you know, watch where your money is going, monitor where your money is going, and and be mindful of the decisions you make with your money, and start making your money grow for you, because
absolutely,
I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than being able to swipe it and be like, oh, I already, it's gonna go through. I ain't tripping on it.
It's gonna go through. There's no question in your mind. You're not nervous, like, oh, is this gonna decline? I agree. I agree. I really, you know, we're almost 2 hours in, maybe an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're an hour and 30 minutes in now.
I really did not want it to be about money, but when I thought of perspective, it's what came to mind. So I hope this, what I've talked about, has blessed somebody. And if you have any questions, comments, or concern, which I've always said on anytime I've been on either Eric's podcast or anytime he's been on mine, don't hesitate to email us. If you email Eric, he'll get the message over to me or forward it or something. Or if you have any questions, you need any tips, I'm here for anybody that needs the assistance. I know that it's hard to get started. There's no time like the present, though. And start small wherever you start. It doesn't matter if you're only trying to save $5 a week or a month or whatever. Just start. And then that mind shift, that mindset is going to shift. It's going to change. And then a year from now, you'll be totally different. You're like, man, I could barely save $5 last year. Look at me saving $500.
Yep.
Look at me saving $5,000.
Yep.
So I'm praying for everybody listening to this podcast that 2022 is going to be a financially blessed year for each and everyone listening to this podcast. I hope that if you have any questions, comments, or concern, that you reach out to me, because I'm not afraid to respond and answer you and help you. And Eric, thank you as always for having me on. And I'm not trying to end the podcast. I just, in this moment, I just started thinking about, you know, if somebody feels apprehensive about starting, just start, just do something. Just try. Give yourself a chance. Try.
Yep. And I mean, it's a fitting way to end the podcast episode, simply because and I was, as you were talking just now, I was thinking that this is I mean, it's the end of the year. Why not go ahead and just start fresh on January 1st?
Yes.
Why not allow this podcast episode with Angie to be the catalyst for you, or at least to be the beginning phases for you to be able to get to the next level? Mm-hmm. So if you want to start fresh at the beginning of the year, now is the best time to start. Well, I mean, right now is always the best time to do it. Even if it's, you know, we only have like a few more days to go, like 11 more days to go, or I'm sorry, 9 more days to go.
Yeah.
but you know, so starting tomorrow would always be ideal. But I mean, if you mm-hmm. want to get a fresh start for January 1st, then by all means do it and allow this podcast to be the jumpstart that you need to get yes. it started. So,
yeah, I like to say my tagline on sincerelyangiem.com is sincerely giving you a little bit of everything you never knew you needed. And I like to believe that that is what this podcast was today. I know many of you may have not been expecting to hear about money, and maybe you were, and maybe I don't know. But hopefully you heard something in here that sparks something, that triggers something within you to help you have a better financial future. And it doesn't mean that everybody's always in financial strains, or no one here that's listening to this podcast is not doing well. But maybe you heard this for a reason, so that you can tell your brother or your sister or your mother or your cousin, and just share it with them. Let them listen to it, and let's just help one another out. That's all we're here for. We're here to help and encourage.
100%. Truest words I've ever heard before in my life. And so last thing about, you know, last but not least, of course, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me at sincerelyangiem.com. I do have my Twitter and my Instagram attached to it. But if you just want to go to Instagram and follow me there, or just check me out, it's justbeing_Angie or sincerelyangiem on Instagram. I have both of them. So I have a page for the podcast and my personal page. So if you go to either one, they will have a tag for the other one. So, but yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
I'm everywhere though. So You'll just Sincerely Angie. If you Google it, something about me will pop up, and it's Sincerely Angie M. There is another Sincerely Angie, but you'll find me. It'll be there.
and obviously I will post these at the bottom of the show notes as well. So yeah, that way you won't get confused with whoever this other Sincere. And
I know,
whatever.
Like the nerve.
I know, right? The audacity, okay?
Ridiculousness.
Well, thank you so much, Angie. As always, I truly, truly appreciate it. And it's always a celebration when we link up.
Always. But why do we even think that we're going to have like a 10 or 15 minute conversation? Why is that even like a, like if you reach out to me and say, hey, can you come on the podcast for a few minutes? Why would we even think that it's going to be 5 or 10 or 20 minutes?
I have no idea.
Because, that's ridiculous.
Because it's, we've gotten together several times already in the past with previous episodes or whatever. And each of them, I will say, has been somewhere around the 45 minute to an hour and a half time frame.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. It's ridiculous. But that's the reason we both have podcasts, because we're talkers. And to put both of us together is disastrous.
It's disastrous. It is.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing when we get together. So thank you. As always, I appreciate you. I appreciate your listeners. And just thank you so much, as always.
No, you're welcome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And thank you guys for listening, ladies and gents. I really appreciate it. And I'm actually going
to happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I forgot about that.
Yes. Happy holidays to everyone who's listening. And Happy New Year. A Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All of that good stuff. And I'm going to leave you with a new tagline. Now, I'm no longer going to say, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. So my new tagline is, may all things work together for your good, and may you always continue to do good.
So, yes, I love it. I love it.
Yes, yes. My name is Eric.
And look at you premiering a new tagline on the episode where I'm at. Thank you.
You see what I'm saying? Again, it's always a celebration, y'all. Thank y'all so much. And until the next time, I will see y'all soon.
Bye, guys.